Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Journalist Roxana Saberi had been living and reporting from Iran for 5 years when one morning in January 2009, four men knocked on her Tehran apartment door. They were Iranian intelligence agents, and Saberi was detained, interrogated, and later convicted of espionage. She spent the next 100 days in Iran's notorious Evin prison, both in solitary confinement and alongside other political and religious prisoners. She might have spent 8 more years there, but intense international pressure won her an appeal, and in May 2009, Saberi was released. Roxana Saberi will be in Boston next week sharing her experience in Evin prison, which she chronicles in her new book, Between Two Worlds, My Life and Captivity in Iran. I recently spoke with Roxana Saberi, and I asked her to describe that first night in solitary confinement.
My cell was quite small. If I held out both of my arms, I could almost touch the walls. So I guessed it was maybe 7 by 9 feet. The floor was cement with a thin, brown, ratty carpet on top of it, and I was supposed to sleep on blankets, no pillow, and no bed. And on the heater, there were some etchings from previous prisoners. One had said the number of days she had been there, and I counted them. And I counted 18 lines, and I remember gasping and thinking, 18? She was here for 18 days? I can't even handle just one night here. And then I decided I wanted to etch something in there, too, that first night. And I had been given a small tube of toothpaste. It was the only sharp object. And I wrote, God save Iran. I wanted to add from these people, but I thought maybe the guards will see this and get angry if I write that. Hmm.
You ended up spending many nights there, going back and forth between that cell and frequent interrogation. After several days, interrogators, they elicited some kind of confession from you. How did that happen?
Well, my interrogations began again the next day after my arrest, and they made many threats against me. They said, if you don't confess to using your book as a cover for espionage, we can make sure that you'll stay here for 10 years or 20 years. And they said, we'll make a deal with you. We'll free you if you confess, and also if you agree to spy for us. So I thought, well, this is the way things work in the Islamic Republic. They want to get confessions, and maybe I'll have to say that my book is a cover for espionage, and then they'll release me, I'll go somewhere safe, and I'll recant my lies. Because the most important thing, I thought, was for me to get out of there as soon as possible, safely. Hmm. So as time went on, I gave in.
Even after you reached this point where you decided, okay, the only safe route to your own freedom was to basically capitulate to their demands, you kept getting promised that you were going to be released. You know, it seemed like every day they'd say, the following Saturday, but then your interrogators would come back and say, your confession wasn't good enough, and it just seemed this very incredibly stressful back and forth between promises of your freedom and then them recanting those promises. So how long did that go on?
Through this whole time, you know, I kept feeling worse and worse about myself because I thought, well, I wanted to recant my lies, but I thought, how can I? I'm in Evin prison. Still nobody knows where I am. If I recant my false confession now, my captors will be so angry and they'll never free me, and then nobody will ever find out where I am. So it took a while before I was able to do that.
Roxana, if you forgive me for just interrupting mm-hmm. here, hearing you say this, it's really just so hard to hear because you're being so tough on yourself. I mean, in the book, you're so hard on yourself during this time saying, how could I have said all these lies? How could I have not stuck to the truth? How could I have named people who were innocent? I mean, for those of us on the outside, it seemed, what other option did you have? You're being so hard on yourself.
I was angry with myself because I had stated those lies out of fear of death and fear of man. And I'd always thought under pressure I would be much stronger. One day when I took a shower in prison, the water was pouring over me, and I thought, okay, my body's now clean, but my conscience feels very dirty. And even when my body will be free, my conscience will feel like it's forever behind bars. So I just personally felt a sense of guilt.
Honestly, Roxanne, I ask because I was hoping to hear you say no, that you've forgiven yourself. And that you've found the courage to forgive yourself.
Yeah, I do forgive myself, especially because I recanted my false confession when I was still in custody so that I could forgive myself.
Well, as we mentioned, it's been almost exactly a year since all this happened and since you were released from prison. A year later, are there ever times when you see, even here in the United States, someone in uniform, or you see someone approaching your house or something, and your heart skips a beat?
Sometimes, yes. There is, I think, an element of maybe hesitation and sometimes fear that remains, but I try not to let that rule my life, because that would be a victory for my captors.
Has your ordeal, I mean, has it changed your father's feeling about Iran, about his native country?
I think that he looks at this a lot like I did, in that we know that those people who captured me do not represent the majority of the Iranian people. And when I was released, in fact, people I would run into on the streets or in my neighborhood and so on, they would apologize to me. They said, "We're so sorry what happened to you. You were a guest in our country. You shouldn't have been treated this way." And still, Iranians I see here tell me the same thing. And I know that they feel the same, actually, with other political prisoners who are in Iran. A lot of those prisoners, when they're released, are seen as heroes. They're very much admired among the rest of the Iranian population, because the majority of the Iranian people know that these people are innocent and that they're wrongly accused of crimes they didn't commit. So I think my father, just as I do, still loves the country of Iran, and I personally hope I can go back there someday. I'm not barred by the law from going back there, although right now is probably not the best time for me to go, but I really grew to love the country and I made very many good friends.
Roxana Saberi, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Magna.
We're listening to music Roxana Saberi composed while in Evin prison. The piece is entitled "Remember to Fly." Roxana Saberi's new book is Between Two Worlds. Roxana and I talked about much more than what you heard here, more about her interrogations and other women she met at Evin prison. You can hear our extended interview and get more information about her Boston appearances this coming week, all at our website, wbur.org/Boston.